Hey, mighty man of God, you don't just have to listen and eavesdrop on me and the guests I interview on this show. How would you like to talk with someone directly to help you with your challenges, frustrations, and concerns? Book a free breakthrough call with us so we can find out where you are, where you like to go, and how we can connect you to a community of godly men who can help you get there. Although the breakthrough calls are free, time slots are limited, so just go to realmenconnect.com/call to schedule a call today. That's realmenconnect.com/call. It's like my wife always says, nothing will ever change unless you change something. So book your breakthrough call today. That's realmenconnect.com/CALL. If you're like most men in our audience, you're committed to becoming the man, husband, father, and leader God called and created you to be. But the truth of the matter is, you struggle with either finding the time or knowing where to start. That's exactly why I created the Real Men Spiritual Leader Blueprint, to give you a step-by-step, easy-to-follow guide to spiritually leading your family, even if you're a new believer. Now, you can't buy the Real Men Spiritual Leader Blueprint, but you can get it for free by signing up for our free e-newsletter. By signing up, you will be notified anytime fresh content is added to my site, so you don't always have to visit my blog to stay up to date on the latest information. Now, to get your free copy of the Real Men Spiritual Leader Blueprint, just visit realmenconnect.com and simply enter your name and email address on the form on the page. So if you're tired of trying to figure it all out and fit it all in as the spiritual leader, provider, and protector of your family, don't miss your chance to discover how to be the man God called and created you to be. Sign up today at realmenconnect.com.
Welcome to Real Men Connect. Are you ready to be the extraordinary man, husband, father, and leader God called and created you to be? Then get ready to receive wisdom and guidance from some of the country's most respected men of faith as you learn everything you need to know to go from good man to great man, God's way. No judgment, no shame. Just real men with real challenges seeking real change. All for God's glory.
Hello, mighty men of God, and welcome to the Real Men Connect podcast, where we help good men become great men God's way. I'm your host, Dr. Joe Martin, and every week we interview some of the nation's most respected and accomplished men of faith to find out what it really takes to become the kind of husband, father, and spiritual leader God called and created us to be. Each interview session is packed with practical, proven biblical principles you can immediately apply in your relationships, on your job, and in your community. And today we have with you guys not just one guest, but two guests. We have a husband and wife duo. And as we know that we go beauty before age, so we're going to introduce Rhonda first. And her name is Rhonda Stoppie. And Rhonda Stoppie is the No Regrets woman with more than 30 years of experience as a marriage mentor, pastor's wife, author, and speaker. And Rhonda has led women of all ages to live lives of no regrets. She's authored countless books, including Moms Raising Sons to Be Men, If My Husband Would Change, I'd Be Happy, and her latest release is The Marriage Mentor, Becoming the Couple You Long to Be. And it was co-written by her husband, who's joined us on air today, Steve Stoppie, who has pastored First Baptist Church in Patterson, California for almost 20 years. And after 37 years of marriage, the Stoppies say that they are still head over heels and ready to share their secrets to building a no-regrets marriage. Together, they write books, speak at marriage conferences, and rescue troubled ministry marriages. And like I mentioned, they live in California, and they have 4 happily married adult children. And check this out, guys, 10 grandchildren. Congratulations, guys. 10 grandchildren. As a men's coach and mentor myself, guys, I'm so excited about having the Stoppies join us on the show, not only to talk about their book, The Marriage Mentor, but to talk about the topic of mentoring as it applies to marriage, and I can't wait. Now, initially, I was going to have Rhonda join us on the show by herself, but she said that Steve will be available, and he's joining us as well. So God is showing us favor by giving us a 2-for-1 today. So please join me in welcoming Steve and Rhonda Stoppie to the Real Men Connect podcast. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
And I'm here because I had to be.
You had to be, Steve. She made you do it. And see, what I can tell you, we've had some couples on the show before, and they always make the best interviews because it's funny. So like that he say, she say kind of thing. And so we always get both perspectives. So I'm excited whenever we have a couple. It makes it more work on my part, but it's worth it. So I'm glad you guys are joining us today.
All I know is just the first that I've heard the fact that you said that I didn't have to come on, but you said I'm available.
That's right. And, you know, and now, Rhonda, I want to ask you, even though that's not part of what I wanted to go to, but I want to ask you that because we really wanted you on the show today. But what made you feel that, man, I want Steve to be on here with me? What made you want to do that?
You know, I told my publicist, handpick the shows that you think would be good for Steve to join me on, because we're getting invited.
Wait, I didn't
as
know
a
about
couple.
That.
Yes, you did. No. We've been invited as a couple to be on a lot of radio, and this is not his gig. In fact, we were interviewed on Focus on the Family. We had to fly out to, Colorado Springs. And he was like, are you kidding me right now? He likes to look in a person's face, sit on the couch one-on-one. He's a pastor. He looks in the faces of his audience. So to look at a computer screen and...
with nobody on the other side.
That's right. Exactly.
It's just not his place, except that this is one that my publicist, as well as I, think it's a really good one. Because I have watched, in the wake of my husband's ministry, we've been married 37 years as of last week. And in the years that he's been in ministry, over 30 years, I have watched a wake behind him of men that learn to follow Christ, to raise their families and build their marriages on the foundation of a relationship with Christ. And I admire this man more than I can even tell you. And I have watched up close watching him praying for these men that he loves and encouraging them and teaching them and studying the word. So he is a wealth of wisdom. And that's why he actually wrote The Marriage Mentor with me. The subheading is Becoming the Couple You Long to Be. And again, he did that kicking and screaming, but he did it and he did a fantastic job.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, you know, we're getting ahead because I do want to get into the book. But I got to tell you guys, the way you wrote the book, and I'll come back and ask you a question about that specifically, but I want to get your story. But the way you guys wrote the book had to be the most user-friendly book I've ever seen. It's just amazing. The way you guys set it up, that it's just easy. It's easy to read for both men and women. And we'll get back to that. And I'll ask you to explain a little bit more. And they'll see why I said that. But I just thought that was a brilliant job you guys did in just organizing the book and how you wrote it. So I got to give you kudos on that. Now, guys, I want you to tell us a little bit about your story, your marriage story, because, Rhonda, you're all showering Steve with praise and everything right now. But I want you to tell us the truth about you guys when you first met, because I saw some of the stuff you wrote in the book.
Yes, so, I'm looking to get more coffee.
So, Rhonda, tell us a little bit about how you and Steve met. And, Steve, you can jump in anytime you want to, man.
Oh, man, you don't want me to on that one.
You have to fill in the blank. You know, I'll tell you really quickly just for fun. I actually have another book out called Real Life Romance, and I tell our love story in there. And there's also a video on my website that you can actually watch us telling our whole fun love story. But I was 14 years old when I met this guy.
Oh,
wow. Now, how old were you, Steve? You were underage, right?
He was 20. 20. And I admired him from afar. He was away at Bible college in Denver. And he had come home to the church that his family attended, where I happened to be going to a Christian school. And that's when I first laid eyes on him. And I literally, I promise you, walked away and thought, oh, I'm going to marry him. And I never had that thought. I was embarrassed that I thought it. And I excused it. Well, you know, whenever a new college guy comes to a church in the college ministry, he's new meat. So all of these single women, he was dating them all. And I was watching from afar in my little cheerleading uniform and my ponytail, thinking there's no way he's ever going to notice me. And there was our families were friends, so we were friends for a long time. But we always try to figure out when it was that we actually started dating.
We never really have.
So we date now, just to be sure.
I may have married her without really knowing her, so I'm trying to get to know her now.
So when we got married, I was 20 and he was 27. And you can watch all the details of our fun love story. Steve talks more about, in the video, the 1969 Mach 1 that he sold.
428 Cobra Jet Shaker Hood Mediterranean.
Oh my goodness.
I learned to drive in that car and we sold it. He sold it when we got married. We used the money for our honeymoon and he sold it for $3,000. I think it's
$3,500.
Oh, $3,500.
Yeah, I made that extra.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's worth over $100,000 now. So I get to tell people that he took me on a $100,000 honeymoon.
Wow. Man. Now, Steve, let me ask you this. Now, Rhonda's sharing the story about, you know, about you guys dating. But what do you remember most about dating Rhonda?
You're asking me that?
Yeah, I'm asking you. You dated her. What do you remember most about that you remember? Because you guys married a long time now. So what do you remember most about dating that stands out to you?
I mean, she was hot. and it was like hands off, because that was not good. And but yet she had a sweetness about her that that I knew. You know, it's one of those things where you go, okay, I don't know if she's going to make a good wife. She didn't cook. She didn't like to clean. You know, all the things that you kind of figure you might, you know, I mean, and you got to remember.
I had good hair.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, man. That Farrah Fawcett sweep. Oh, that would light my day. So she didn't do any of these domestic things. She knew how to shop.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, this woman can go in and take $20 into a store and come out with five outfits.
Wow.
Maybe not five, but I'll do this.
Yeah, you and my wife will get along great, Rhonda.
And so I'm thinking, all right, I may have to do my own cooking. I may have to do my own cleaning. I may have to do, you know, pretty much everything. But man, this woman can shop.
And, and I've got good hair.
And that hair. I mean, you know, so it was just kind of a no-brainer for me.
But, you know, and Steve, now you joke about that, Steve. But the thing is, based on you grew up in a home, though, where your mom was the opposite of that. Right. And what did you think? Honestly, what did you think of it when you realized that she wasn't going to be the domestic type like your mom was? How did that make you feel?
You know, I think that hair just made me not care.
Good hair don't care, right?
You know, like he says in The Marriage Mentor, he really expected I was going to love it like his mom did. And I worked full time. His mom did not. So I was working full time. I'd come home. I'd try to get dinner on. I'd try to take care of the house. And, you know, if I can remember one day, this was back, we used to flip houses. It was in the 80s. Yeah. And we lived in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Back before you could make a show about it.
Yeah.
Make a lot of
people
money,
thought we were,
you know,
crazy back then. Now we would have a show. And we had flipped the first house that we had moved into. I mean, we'd remodeled it. We moved into it. We bought a used refrigerator, and the freezer had to be defrosted. And I mean, some of you that are listening, you millennials, are like, were they pioneers? What is she talking about? But it didn't self-defrost. So I literally had an ice pick trying to get the bacon out of the freezer because it was frozen to the wall of the freezer. And I remember as I was stabbing that bacon, my husband was in the garage working on my car with his brother, and they were laughing, having a good time. And I began resenting that my life wasn't fun anymore, that I worked full time, I cleaned my house, I did this, I did that. But what happened was, in that moment of me stabbing that ice, I scared myself, because I have watched the marriages in my family unravel because of little things like that. Those assigning wrong motives to your spouse's actions, not believing the best about your spouse. And then those little tiny resentments that turn to bitterness that defile your marriage and really steal your joy. So I knew that I wasn't the wife I meant to be. I knew I needed help. And that's when I looked to mentors. Steve was in youth ministry at the time. And I looked to the couples that were the parents of the kids in our youth ministry, and the ones that still held hands, laughed at each other's jokes, enjoyed each other's company. And I attached myself to those women. Titus 2 calls the older women to teach the younger how to love their husbands and love their children. And I knew they were the key to what I needed. And that's really what turned me around and changed me from going down a path of just having wrong thoughts that I probably would have undermined my marriage relationship.
You know, and I, you know, you mentioned now about, now we're getting into it. I got to tell you guys, we're totally not following the my protocol that I normally do on the show. I didn't ask you guys your favorite Bible verse, because you guys are already presenting a challenge to me. But that's a good thing. I'm going with the flow of the spirit right now. But I like what you said, though, Rhonda, about, you know, the Titus 2 women. My wife is really big on that as well. And it sounds so easy and clean. Okay, you go to church and you see these women who they're with their husband. They look happy, and you go up there. But usually, it's not that clean of a relationship. So, Stephen, I want you to jump in on this. Why is it so important for young married couples to have older couples in their lives to mentor them? Why is that so important?
Well, I mean, they've been down the road, right? I mean, they've kind of hit all the bumps and the speed bumps and all the stuff that comes swooping down on you. through life. And so they've kind of experienced those things. And if they're godly, if they're in the, you know, you're looking for people who, I know you're going to ask us our favorite verse, right?
No, I'm not going to do it now. So we're going to keep going. Because I got a lot of stuff I want to ask you guys, and I don't want to waste any more time. I want to get to them. I got a lot of questions for you guys.
Now, see here, that's what's interesting, because I was already with that, you know. That's like doing your homework for no purpose, okay? So, but let me just tell you, mine's probably 2 Corinthians 5, and it says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature.
Yes, that's mine too.
All things have become new. I take that verse very seriously. I believe that when a person comes to understand Jesus Christ, God in flesh, come to this earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, rose again, died for our sins, took the wrath of God on his body on that cross, died for us so that we might have life and life eternal, take our sins as far as the east is from the west, take it to the depth of the deepest sea, that I believe that there's a metamorphosis change in us. I believe that we're alive unto Christ. Where we were dead in our trespasses and sins, we're now alive unto Christ. Where we were in darkness, we are in light. I believe that that's a huge change that comes on us as men. Now, having said that, that's what you're looking for in a couple. I don't care if a couple's been married 50 years. If they don't have that, they may have gotten along well in life, and they may have gotten a well, you know, made some money together and lived a nice life and had some kids. But if they don't have that metamorphosis change, if they don't have that life change, then they're not going to do you any good. What we need, and as men, what we need is we need to see those examples of men who are holy, godly men who love the Lord, love his word, not perfect, but who always come back to understanding who they are in Jesus Christ. And that's the thing. I mean, we talk about all the sin that we deal with as men. And I think what happens a lot of times is we are so caught up in doing better, and not understanding our identity of who we are in Jesus Christ and allowing him to work in us to make that change in us and to bring us more and more to be like Christ, which is what God's doing in us. And so as you look for people that are emulating that, you're looking for men who love God, love his word, and couples. I don't mean to take that away, but you're looking for men who love God's word, love Christ, number one. You know, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I mean, that's the guy you want to pour into you. Mm-hmm. And you go attach yourself to that guy. You don't just sit there and go, well, you know, I wish there was a program for this. Let me tell you something. There's probably not going to be a program in your church for that. I'm just kind of throwing that out there because that's just the way kind of it is. But if you find a couple who truly love the Lord and truly love one another, then that's the one you want to attach yourself to and say, how did you do it? What do I do as a man? How do I get to that point? What are you doing in God's word? How are you leading your family? How are you praying for them? I think what you would find is most men that you talk to in the church today probably don't spend a whole lot of time in prayer. They're working. They come home. They're tired. Maybe a little cranky, depending on what their boss did to them that day. All of a sudden they're met at the door with kids, you know, that want their time. They kind of like to just get in their chair and sit and maybe have a little something to eat. But they have to rise above that and say, no, I want to be the guy who is leading my family. And so I'm getting that extra bit of strength from Christ and from the Spirit of God to do what he's called me to do. To be that father, even though I'm tired, to go above my, my own weakness and find God's strength. And, you know, I know that's kind of just throwing up on you here, but.
No, but Steve, that's good. Because Rhonda, I want to bring you back in on the conversation because you mentioned about what you noticed in your church. And that's why I wanted to get to that before we dive into the book. is because we always hear that about you need to, everything you're saying, Steve, we hear that. And men, we're teaching, trying to teach men that in the church. But most men struggle with doing that because they won't humble themselves enough to go ask another brother or another older man to mentor, to help them. And I would think having a couple mentor you will be even twice as hard for a man. So I want to hear from you, Rhonda. So what do you suggest that we do, man or woman, to recruit such a couple? How do we get past that nervousness, that fear of approaching men? How do we approach them?
You know, the way that we were mentored by the couples that were in our life is we just became friends with them. We went camping with them. We went on road trips with them. We watched them interact with each other in stressful situations. We watched when they corrected their children. They didn't get angry and didn't raise their voice. We watched and learned. Jesus said, the student will be like his teacher, not like the teacher teaches them to be, which a lot of times we can sit across the table, have coffee and conversations that are meaningful, but doing life together in a community that God's called us to live in, where iron sharpens iron. I want to see one of the older women that mentored me, her 16-year-old daughter got pregnant when, you know, on her watch. And I watched that couple go through a disappointment in the choice their daughter had made. They'd had her in Christian school. They had done everything they thought they could do to teach her to make wise decisions. And she still chose not to, but it didn't drive this couple away from each other. It drove them to their knees together as they prayed for their daughter and they prayed for that situation. Doing life together is genuine and real. And I think the reason that we kind of wrote the marriage mentors, because everywhere that we speak, we do marriage conferences and I speak at women's events all over. Constantly, I hear people say, I have no older mentors in my life. And sadly, the people that are our age are collecting seashells by the seashore, or taking their RVs and going camping, or divorcing their spouse because it's me time now. And it's unfortunate because it's not God's suggestion that the older teach the younger. It's God's mandate. So it's the responsibility, if you're older and you're listening, and however old you are, there's someone right behind you that God's wanting you to pour into them what you've learned from your successes and your failures. I teach more passionately from my failures than I do from my successes. You know, you'll hear somebody write a letter to my younger self. Well, that doesn't do me any good. But if I write a letter to my younger self and then hand it to a younger woman and say, hey, let me walk you through this, there's value in that. And that's where the connection comes. And then one other point I'd like to make, when Steve was talking about what men are being called to live and do and they don't have the time, one of my remembrances when Steve and I live in the mountains, we live on a ranch in the middle of nowhere, and he would drive an hour and a half to work every day, one way, both ways. And when we moved, we ended up moving to Austin, Texas. We planted a church in Texas. And he didn't have a commute time anymore. And I remember him telling me that hour and a half both ways was my prayer time. And I had, you know, and so I think a lot of times men think their commute time is wasted. No, it's not. It's a time to be in the Word. You know, you can listen to the Word on tape. It's a time to be praying for your families. I trusted this man. And if you'll read in our first story in The Marriage Mentor, this man moved me on a mountain. I lived in a house with no power for 2.5 years because his desire was to be debt-free and live in the country. And, you know, I saw his dream, and I was holding it in the palm of my hand when we found this ranch. And I could have said no, and we wouldn't have done it. But because I knew this was a man that sought the Lord, that prayed, I knew I could trust him and I could follow him. So men, your wives will trust your leadership if they know you're seeking the Lord in all your decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Steve.
Let me get back to, Your question was, how do you get these couples, right?
Yeah, because Rhonda just said that you do life with them, and I agree with you and build relationships. But when we're talking about men, Rhonda, you have to go, you got to speak to us like we're cavemen. Like, what do I say? how do I approach? What you got to put it plain and simple for us. So Steve, make it plain.
So here's the deal. I believe this. I think that there's a lot of times where men growing, with their wives young, and the men you're trying to target right now, I think a lot of times they won't look for people. I think they'll just, you're right. Our pride, our arrogance, our manness, we just kind of go, hey, we're supposed to have this. We're supposed to take care of this. Here's where I would put the responsibility. Rhonda kind of hit on it. I would put it on those older folks. Mm. I would say that's what you want to do, is go find folks who'd say, wait a minute, Yeah, okay, maybe I'm almost retired. Maybe I'm thinking about kicking back. But let me tell you something. I don't find it in the Bible where you retire from ministering to one another. I don't find it in the Bible where all of a sudden, oh, okay, I'm 65. I can go take my RV and go, go check out, Timbuktu and divorce myself from my body, from my church. And I think putting the passion in those people to say, reach out to these younger folks, because they probably won't reach out to you. And I know your radio show kind of encourages men to do that. I would probably ask the question, I wonder if those men listening, how many would actually do that? But if you have an older couple that's coming and saying, look, we want to help you. We want to pour into, we want to just befriend you. Not even make it like I know churches like to have programs. We're very program oriented. You know, it's like, oh, we got a program for this. We got a program for that. It's not a program. It's like Rhonda said, it's just doing life together. It's just figuring out how to be together, spend some time. And I would say put it on the older folks to reach down into the younger and those who are coming up.
I like that, Steve. That's a great strategy, putting onus on them to have the responsibility to reach down. But I still don't like to let anybody off the hook that is, they have to humble themselves. But I tell one of the quickest way I tell people to humble themselves as far as getting a mentor is don't ask for one. Compliment them on something. Like you mentioned, Rhonda, about watching that couple holding hands. I would go up to a couple and I would tell them, talk to the husband and say, you know what? I got to tell you, man, I know you guys, I don't want to freak you out, but I watch you guys when you come into church all the time. And I want to be that kind of husband. Hey, do you have 15 minutes I can meet you at Starbucks so I can ask you some questions about marriage? That's how I do it. And what I found out is that now here's the funny thing about it, Steve. I have six mentors who don't know they're my mentors. Now they're gonna be listening like, what? They've been mentoring me for years and they don't even know they're my mentors, and they're all older because of that approach, to them. But I thought it'd be hard to get a couple to agree to mentor you. That's why I was so intrigued with your book, which I do want to get into, because man, you guys, and I remember I mentioned earlier about this is probably one of the most user-friendly books I've ever seen. As far as how you guys organized it, can you briefly tell our audience, and either one of you, Rhonda, I want you to share with them first, but tell them briefly how you organized this book and why you did it that way.
Well, first of all, everywhere that I go and speak, women come up and say, I don't have any mentors. We don't have any mentors. And will you be my mentor? And I can't connect with that many women. So we really decided we needed to write a book that would encourage them. And people say all the time, I'm not a reader. It's like, okay, you read social media all day long. You're a reader. Yeah. You've established that. Let's write a book that will feel like you're just hanging out with an older couple that's going to share with you biblical principles to build a no regrets marriage, to fall more in love with Christ, because Jesus said the priority of life is to love God with all of your being. And the second command is to love your neighbor as yourself. I can't love my spouse with Christ's love unless I'm loving Christ first. And then that love is him flowing through me. So what we did was we broke the book down. I write to the wives, and we explain this in the first chapter of the book. And then there's a small section underneath where Steve talks to the wives, and that's a little, from a husband's perspective is what that's called. So he'll read what I wrote and then he'll tell them, hey, this is what your husband is thinking about this, and try this or that in your relationship.
I love that.
Then Steve has a section called Man to Man, and that's in a gray box. And we did that on purpose because Steve basically tells the men, I get it. You don't want yet another marriage book that your wife is shoving under your nose. But guys, I've written you the cliff notes. Just read the gray boxes and you'll be knowing what my wife told your wives, but these are just the highlights.
Oh, I love it.
And then
it. I love it.
At the end, right? And do a little gray box to the husbands and say from a wife's perspective. And one of the things I say, and all the men that are listening, Steve, we did videos too that go along with each chapter. They're free on my website. It's just us. It's very organic, talking about each chapter.
Why don't we having use that word? With
you. Yeah, he's cracking up at the word organic. I lost my thought. But the point of it is we just want to feel like you're hanging out with us. And so one of the things I say in the very first part of the book is, guys, if you want to show your wife you care about your marriage, read this section or at least watch these videos with her. If you can't get your spouse to read, then say, let's start by watching this free video. And maybe you'll connect with this couple, Steve and Rhonda Stoppy, and then maybe you will want to read the sections of the book. And I even say, have your husband take a picture of the gray box with his phone so he can read it on his break at work or whatever. We just want to feel like you're interacting with a very real couple that visits the real issues that, that marriages come up with and how to walk through those in a way that builds your marriage rather than tears it down.
Because I got the impression that you guys eliminated all the excuses we may use for not reading, not digesting material. You've got it in so many different ways. So even if they don't read the whole book, they can just go to certain sections. They don't even have to read it all in one sitting either. They can just kind of pick and choose where they want to start. And then you add the video component that they can now go watch and see you guys real time and just listen to you guys and feel like you said, like they know you, which I thought was the coolest thing. I wish I would have written books like that that had that kind of support. And maybe I might start doing that in the future. But I thought that was just a brilliant idea. And I've never seen anybody do it quite like that. So I'm glad that you explained that to us. Now, but Steve, I'm going to ask you a question, man, because you're a pastor and many men, as I'm sure women too as well, believe that if their spouse would change, you guys cover this in the book, or they would get with the program, that they would be happy. So in your book, you talk about that not being true. Could you explain why your wife changing, Steve, is not really going to make you happy?
Well, man, how much time we got?
Not a lot, but I'm sure you can handle it, though.
that's kind of the human nature, right? It's like, what do you need to do to make me happy? And what happens when we don't find our joy in the Lord, and we don't find our joy in our walk with Him, then we look for other things to fulfill that joy. We're guys, right? So I like cars. I like cars that go fast. I like motorcycles. I like to race motorcycles. I like to, there's nothing like getting on a motorcycle track and, you know, going around a curve 120 miles an hour and just feeling those tires slip underneath you a little bit. I mean, that's man stuff, right? And we want stuff that makes us happy. So we go to our woman and we go, I want you to make me happy too. And the women do the same thing to the men. And the problem is they weren't designed to make us happy. They weren't designed to fulfill that in us. That's only something that we can have as we die to ourselves and as we give ourselves to Christ. I mean, that's what Jesus said, right? He said, if you want to be my follower, this is what you do. You deny yourself. You pick up your cross and you follow me. Now that don't sound like me finding my happiness in a bunch of stuff around.
Your happy space.
Exactly. Yeah. And by the way, that's not done organically.
You're so hip, baby.
Yeah, I just love that word. I'm not even going to go there. So, but here's the thing: if we would figure that out as men. And women, but if we would figure that out as people, my joy comes in the Lord. My fulfillment comes in my identity of who I am in Him. That's why the world struggles so much with having to, you know, you see it on the internet, you see it on, I don't know, Instagram, all these garbage places where people are exalting themselves, trying to make themselves feel good about what they're doing and where they're at and what's happening to them. And it's all facade. It's all fake. It's not real because they're not finding real joy. They're finding their semblance of, you know, fulfilling their lust or maybe fulfilling their fleshly desires. But the part of them that really needs to be fulfilled is what you only find in Jesus Christ. And so, Rhonda's motioning me. She wants to say something.
I want to read this that Steve wrote in this chapter that it just really grabs. This is Steve talking in the book. The other misconception I had was about who I thought I would be as a husband. When we were dating, Rhonda was a real chatterbox, and I enjoyed her zeal to share every single detail about her day. However, after we were married a while, I grew a bit disillusioned by the reality that my life was really like with a lady who had such a gift for gab. That might be a bit of an understatement, but Rhonda talked to me constantly. Her less than joyful response to housework, coupled with my feelings of being smothered by her need to always be with me and wanting to talk me through everything that rolled around in her head, led me to respond in ways that revealed what kind of man, what kind of husband I would become. Basically, I wanted to be the guy who preferred to work in the garage and veg in front of the television at the end of the hard day of work. Maybe you can relate. For some men, arguing or demanding their way is natural response to stress. For others, withdrawing is the way to escape. a less than satisfying marriage, but there's a way to make your marriage great. When you learn the basic biblical principles for building an amazing marriage, you will be surprised at how happy your life can be. I'm kind of crying right now. I've seen it work hundreds of times, and I know it will work for you too. I know these principles work. It worked in our marriage. Steve has seen it. We have seen it in countless marriages, but it's hard work. It's not organic, but it's well worth the effort to have a marriage with no regrets.
Yeah, you know, and I'm glad you guys that I asked that question, because there's a lot of men out there who are listening, because I deal with these men a lot, and they want their wives, quote, to make them happy. And like you said, Steve, I read somewhere that that if you look for the word happy in the Bible, you won't find it as far as that Bible being happy, but you'll find the word holy about 600 times. We weren't called to be happy, we're called to be holy. And so that is something that we've constructed, that we got to feel good and feel to be happy. So happy is not, you're not going to find happiness in the Bible by God promises to be happy, but you will find a word respect in there. So Rhonda, I want to ask you, why is respect so important in a marriage? Because I know it's important to us as men. Why is it so important in a marriage?
God created our husbands to want to be respected by their wives. And most likely when your wife was dating you, she respected you without maybe even realizing it, even laughing at your jokes. You know, it's like that was something. As we get married, we're the mom, we put our mom hat on, dad tells a funny joke at the table, the kid spills the milk, mom gets upset because that's more work for mom. And the kids think dad's hysterical, mom's heard all the jokes before, and we withhold our laughter. It's really a form of disrespect. And I tell the story in The Marriage Mentor of David and Michael, when he was crowned king in the Bible and he danced through the streets of Jerusalem and he danced in his loincloth. His wife wasn't there dancing in the streets with him. And then he went and he blessed the Lord. And at the feast, his wife wasn't there. And then he walked in the house and she blasted him. And she basically said, how glorious was the king dancing in his underwear in front of all the women? But let's look at maybe what she was trying to do. She was the daughter of a king. She was Saul's daughter. So a lot of times I think we as wives are trying to, quote, help our husbands be better at their job, be better at what it is they do. But we deliver it in a way that's disrespectful. And it drives them away from us, which David never went into his wife again. Michael and him were divided. So, you know, like when Steve first became a pastor, he was in youth ministry for years. He's been a senior pastor for nearly 20 years. I remember women would come to me and be like, hey, can you tell my husband to call someone's my husband because he's, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I'd be like, babe, do this. That. And I saw Steve kind of shut down. And then one day I asked him, do you think I'm trying to tell you how to do your job? And he's like, yeah. I thought I was helping, but it was coming across as, hey, you're not good enough at your job. I need to help you be better at it. And we have to, as wives, first of all, be discerning what speaks respect to our husband, what speaks disrespect to them. And then just as much as I crave for my husband to love me without condition, to speak kind words to me, to tell me what it is he loves about me, God created our husbands with this vulnerability that they only can get the encouragement for most men to find that their wives are still respecting them, still laughing with them, still playing with them, still enjoying their company.
And so, Rhonda, so obviously, you know, you had to learn this. And I know obviously it came through the women mentoring you. But I wonder, how does a woman learn how to do that? Because, no, I don't know too many women who want to be disrespectful to